This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the GH Report, breaking down every episode of craziness that happens and everything that's going down in Port Charles every single day here on ABC. My name is Frank Moran.
And I'm Carla Renata.
Oh, look at that. Yes! Before we dive into everything, of course, as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and, you know, the chat's up and running. I know you folks are in there because it's been a couple weeks since we took Easter off. I'm sure you're dying to share your thoughts about everything that's been happening.
Yes. Let's do a shout out. Joe Costanzo, Kelly Public Cover, Jerry Jacks, DT Durr, Zoe Johnson, Annie Gowan, Marlon Wallace, Rue Wood, Tom Clev, Dr. Who Fan 12. I'll write for that name. Patrick Say, Loretta Johnson, and Coco. Oh, I'm sorry. The Good Juju, Joe Costanzo, Dolores Leach, Coco Candy One. That's a lot. Nakisha Jones. It's a lot. Nakisha Jones. And Dulamon, welcome back, y'all. Thanks for coming back and joining us.
Absolutely, yes. I hope you enjoyed your Easter. I know Carla and I enjoyed taking a little time to spend with family, but we are back now with our GH family. Talk about all the crazy that's been happening.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, before we get into everything specifically, Carla, what have you been thinking of GH these past couple weeks?
Well, before we get into GH, I wanted to let you know some things they were saying in the chat room before we went live. They were saying we couldn't possibly start without your fantabulous rap, which you didn't do.
That's true. I don't get it. We don't have the music that we usually have playing us in, given our current, the way we're setting the show up right now. So don't worry. As soon as we're back in studio, I know.
Bum, 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 bum.
Thank you, Ryan, for that little music there. But,
Rosa
Church, no one misses a rap more than me. So as soon as we can get back to doing that, I'm all in.
And then Kelly Public Cover said and asked us to please pray for Nova Scotia. They had a mass shooting there today with 13 dead, including a police officer. So I put in the chat love and light to everyone there, but I didn't want to unacknowledge or not acknowledge that or acknowledge the fact that they talked about your rep. They also wanted to talk about, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, how they've been infiltrating the flashbacks into the current episodes. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we just dive right into that? I mean, we know that we've talked about it for weeks before everything happened in terms of the stoppage of production because of the coronavirus, that they, much like Wyatt, Young and the Restless and Bold and Beautiful, had anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks episodes of fresh content. So Days of Our Lives, since it filmed so far in advance, has all the way up until the fall of new programs. So they are set to film so far ahead. Y&R is going to be running out of original programming starting next week. So
oh, wow.
If they're, Yeah, so it doesn't know exactly what their plan is after that, if they're rolling all to encore shows or what they're going to be doing. But GH, in an effort to still stretch out the remaining program that they have, first introduced Flashback Fridays to kind of show some old episodes, although they've been terrible episodes. But also have been heavily laying in flashbacks to stretch out their original content even further.
Which I kind of like. Yeah, the Friday thing. Yeah, you're right. It's like, if of all the episodes y'all could choose to show on Fridays, those are the ones y'all choose. I'm like, really though? I would have preferred. GH has been on the air for 50 years, and I'm not sure how many years of that they've been doing the Nurses Ball, but they could have stretched it out just with some, you know, throw.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Stopping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at Fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Back Nurses Ball footage. I would have enjoyed that because at least, you know, there's some music involved, there's some entertainment going on, you know, in addition to the drama taken out of context. But I would have really liked that. In terms of the flashbacks infiltrated throughout the week, Monday through Thursday, I'm kind of digging it, because if it's somebody that has never tuned into GH before, they're getting a background context on these characters. And even for somebody like me, that's been watching it for over 20 years, there are some scenes and some things that happened that I have forgotten all about. I'm like, oh yeah, that is what happened with Carly. Oh yeah, that is what happened with Nell. You know what I mean? So it's been kind of refreshing to see that, to be reminded of what people's relationships were and how they got to this point in General Hospital storytelling. It's been kind of cool. Some of the episodes, but some of them have been, you know, very, very nice and very well put together. But what is annoying me is that they'll literally interrupt the train of thought to do it. I'm like, I'm gonna need you to let this whole train of thought play out first before we go into this flashback. Like, let's just play through that train of thought first. What you think about it, Frank?
I love it because it's always that's something with soaps, is that we always think like, oh yeah, everybody looks great all the time. And it's only until you get a little distance from when those episodes originally aired that you can truly appreciate the terrible hairstyles that people have.
But how much they look like little babies. Like when you go back to the flashbacks, yes, especially the ones where they show Jason and Joss, they look so young in these flashbacks. And then you flash forward, you're like, ooh. Okay, well, and you don't ever think about Maurice Bernard aging, because he just looks ageless. But when they do those flashbacks, you see him at all different kinds of weights. I was like, oh, he was a little pudgy during that year, huh? Okay.
I will say, I think like the two that have suffered the most have been Jax and Michael during these flashbacks that they've been involved in. Whew. Some rough looks for my guys there, and hair-wise.
Yeah, those hairstyles. It's like, but what I did...
For me, it's that aside. Honestly, for me, I watched, though, I think the first time they kind of really started heavily laying in the flashbacks. But then after that, I was like, nah, I'm pretty much up to speed on this. So for me, I just use that as an opportunity to fast forward. So for me, I get through these episodes much faster, because I'm just like,
I can't fast forward, because if I miss the episode, I have to go back and watch it on Hulu. So there's commercial breaks, so you can't really fast forward on Hulu. So there's that. Yeah. But I have enjoyed it, but the last couple of weeks, let's talk about what's been going on the last couple of weeks. So let's talk about the biggest thing that happened, and let's just go from there and move our way backwards. Let's just talk about the fact that we finally found out who Nina's daughter is. And how, we think it's Nell.
I mean, because I've been at the show for a while.
What'd you say?
It seemed like the show for the longest time had been setting it up to be Willow. It seemed like the show had been setting it up for a long time that it was Willow. And I'm really curious to see if when they decided to switch streams and go like, hey, maybe having it be Nell is a better idea.
I think that having it be Nell, because Willow is kind of at her wit's end. So I think having it be Nell just creates more drama and intrigue. I think if it had turned out to be Willow, there's not a whole lot of drama there. Because Nina would have been honored and relieved to have Willow as a daughter. But now we have her having Nell as a daughter. And she said on more than one occasion during the last few weeks to Jax, more than once, she said, I'm more like Nell than you think. She said that on numerous occasions. And when she said it the first time, I'm like, oh, they're setting this up for Nell to be her daughter. And sure enough, that's what it turned out to be. So it's going to be interesting because, you know, Nell is treacherous for a variety of reasons, but Nina has been in this mode of trying to turn around ever since she turned up in Port Charles pretending to be paralyzed, and she wasn't when she showed up for Silas, right? So she's kind of turned her life completely around from that. And then Nell was basically given that same opportunity and opted not to do that. And instead, she's just causing drama and intrigue everywhere she goes. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not Nina embraces her, rejects her, and how the realization of that relationship is going to affect the two of them and everybody else in Port Charles. Because it's definitely going to affect some folk, you know?
It was, well, first I will just point out that I loved how the show couldn't trust their viewers to figure out the Nina Nell connection. They had to really hammer it home with the cheesy split screen at the end of that episode. I'm like, come on, guys, come on. But that aside.
Look, they're just doing the best they know how.
that aside, it is kind of interesting. I mean, that Carly Nell conversation, that was one big thing that made me think like, hey, I feel like the show has really changed courses midstream, because that conversation, I feel like, should have happened years ago.
Right.
It's weird that it happened now, but the way that storylines evolve and change direction, you have to do what you can to, and so now this conversation does happen. I like that it was that Carly was saying, or Nell said like, hey, I am just like you. And even Carly talks to Jason afterwards, like, say she is, but I had you. So Carla, do you think that all Nell is missing is having somebody like Jason in her life to kind of keep her on the straight and narrow? Or is she more damaged than that?
I think she's more damaged than that. I think had she had somebody early on in her formative years to help her not be that person, it would have been helpful. But now she's just hell bent on the fact that, you know, no matter who it is, they just don't want to give her a chance. And when anybody, you know, gets in her wrath and they don't want to support her, then they become a target for her. And I think that even if Carly ends up being that person for her that Jason was for Carly, I don't think it's really going to help Nell, because Nell's just hard-headed. You know, some people, it's like that old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. She's that person. Like, you can show her the right way to be, and you can show her 1,000 different ways, but is she really going to change and do the right thing? No, she's not, because she's been in a habit of being that person for so long that it's going to take a minute for her to jump out of that, even if she wanted to. And I don't think she wants to. I think she kind of gets off on making people uncomfortable. That smirk that she gets on her face every time she enters a room, because she knows most of the people in the room don't want her there. She gets off on that. Those kind of people, they love making people uncomfortable. It's the thing that makes them thrive. It's like the Grinch when he was taking the toys from the Who's, you know what I'm saying? He got off on taking the toys from the Who's, and that made him gleeful. She's the same way. She's like the Grinch of poor Charles, honey.
Well, I'm wondering about that because, you know, that the way that Nell is portrayed now, I mean, that is certainly where she has pretty much at this point no redeeming value. You really set that up for somebody that's going to be around for a short period of time because you can just ratchet up the bad stuff that they do and then build it up so high. And then you're like, all right, she's been caught, done, exposed. Now she's off. And we just move on from there. But making it a reveal like being Nina's daughter, that makes me think like there's a lot of storyline there that's going to be available out of this. So you want her around for a while. And I wonder if it would be more helpful for Nell, for the Nell character, for the audience to have seen Nell have any other sort of relationship with somebody on the show that is genuine. So at least we can have even a sliver of rooting interest in her to at least say, okay, yeah, cool. She's sticking around. All right. I can see maybe they can make it together. Does that matter to you or not?
Not really. I mean, okay. I'm really curious about at this point is I want to see how her relationship with Nell is going to play out. Because when they did those flashbacks, and I had forgotten that there was a point in time where Carly genuinely really, 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 really liked Nell. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And to see if Carly at some point is going to end up rooting for her or having her back at some point. What's going to be interesting is if Nell and Nina end up having her back, because Carly and Nina, because Carly and Nina have joined forces to take Nell down. And now we have this new information that Nina is Nell's daughter. So how is that going to affect these plans that Nina and Carly have moving forward? Honey, the opportunities are endless concerning that little situation. I can't wait for them to get back and work that out. And in the event that they're not able to get back anytime soon, I'm wondering if at some point GH will entertain doing virtual episodes. You know, if this health crisis ends up having people to stay at home, you're having these stay at home orders a little while longer, they can't keep doing, I mean, they could keep doing the flashbacks, but fans are going to get tired of it. It's going to get old. And I'm wondering if at some point, if there's ever been any discussions about doing some virtual episodes. You know, when we have a guest here, we can ask them, but aren't you interested about that at all? Don't you think it would be interesting to see how they evolve that into a virtual situation or if that's even possible?
You know, I mean, I certainly know people love podcasts. People listen to narrative podcasts as well. So is there enough of an appetite? I mean, you're really trying to change this over for viewers, the network would be, to try to get them to buy into this. I'd be curious to see, would fans be satisfied getting original content in the form of virtual stories, or do they really require wanting to see it on screen, full sets, the whole nine yards?
Well, I have an answer to that, actually. So in the Broadway community, there's a musical conductor / pianist named Seth Radetzky, and he's been doing these live Stars in the House broadcast on Facebook, where he's gotten together original cast of different musicals like Les Mis and some other things. And they've been doing these readings. And I saw one where he did Les Mis, where they literally had the guy that was playing Jean Valjean and Javert standing like this, facing each other in split screen. And like infiltrating the same kind of things that we see done in TikTok, but taking it and putting it into a split screen situation on Facebook. It's possible to do. It wouldn't require any more rehearsing or cajoling than it would if they had to rehearse the scenes on set. And it would just be a different interesting way to watch the soaps, you know, having them talk in profile. Like, it would be funny, but it would be, you know what I mean? It would be hilarious, but it would be, I think this is a perfect time for producers to infiltrate creativity in a way that they've never been challenged to do in order to keep fans engaged. Because I, for one, as a diehard General Hospital fan, I don't want to see it go anywhere. It's been over 50 years. I don't want to see it disappear because of COVID-19. That would be a tragedy within itself. I'm throwing stuff out there because I'm just trying to verbally think of, there has to be a way to save the content or move it forward. Because, you know, it's like we said, they can do those flashbacks, but, you know, we are complaining about it. The people in the chat room are complaining about it. People on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram complain about it. There's only so much of that that's going to happen. The network executives and the producers of the show, at some point, are going to have to do something. So
true. Yeah. I mean, you know, in terms of everybody griping, I mean, it's just, you would wish that there wouldn't be so much griping about it. I mean, nobody's a huge fan of it, but being understanding of the current situation, what more do you want the network to do at this point? So, but otherwise, like, right. No, don't show us these terrible hairdo of Jax and Michael. Don't do it.
And I think part of them are afraid that if they go down that rabbit hole, they may not be able to go back. I think that's a fear, that sometimes they're afraid that if they go down the rabbit hole, they may not be able to come back. Frank? Oh, you froze for a second. Did you hear what I said? He can't hear us? Okay. All right, you guys. So
yeah,
you guys, you can hear us? Okay, cool. There you are.
Yeah.
You froze for a second and I couldn't hear you. So the last thing I said was, do you think the networks are scared if they go that route?
I don't know, because I mean, unlike the other, like the nighttime programming, sitcoms, dramas and all that, they're giving a shortened season and they're just going to, any storylines they may pick up in the fall, hopefully when production resumes, but their soaps don't go dark during the summer, at least television-wise. Production-wise, they may take some downtime, but airing-wise, they don't. So you still need to have fresh content to deliver for those 3 months throughout the summer. So I feel like you're right that the network can't just rely on Flashback Fridays for 3 months and expect viewership to still be there when it comes back. I hadn't thought of that idea of just doing some virtual shows. I mean, what do they have to lose?
Exactly. All right, so let's get back into the storyline. Let's talk about the fact that I love that they're making Charlotte kind of bad seed-ish. They're making her into the bad seed because she's not having Ava, she's not having Jax, and she is just acting out. How do you feel about her? She is literally the bad seed. I'm like waiting for her to put on some tap shoes.
The scene where, one, I like that when Nina comes back into Kelly's and sees Jax on the floor, that she so freaks out. And I remember watching it the day before when I saw the previews for that episode, thinking, whoa, all right, something terrible must happen to Jax. It was just that he tripped. And I do like that Jax doesn't throw Charlotte under the bus. All you see is just Charlotte sitting over in that area. But I'm like, how did Charlotte trip that man? Get out of here. That guy's a tall drink of water. How did that happen?
Look, she may have thrown some on the floor, but then fast forward to this past week with Violet's birthday party. You know, she ran all up on Aiden to my, no, don't touch that. I'm like, Diva, what do you have in this pinata? What are you planning? And she's like, I think everybody needs to see it. So when that snake came slithering out of Ava's purse, I'm like, did she mean to, first of all, how did the snake get in Ava's purse? Second of all, why was Charlotte looking like something was going to fall out the pinata every time somebody pulled the string? I was very confused by all of that. I was like, it did not go the way I thought it was going to go. And the way they ended it, it looked like the snake was coming towards Charlotte.
I was like, all right, this is going to be in the pinata. And it wasn't until Ava sets her purse on top of the table where Charlotte was sitting underneath there with the snake that I was like, all right, she's going to put the snake in Ava's purse. And sure enough, it rolls out like that at the end of the episode. I mean, I guess you get both. You get have it in Ava's purse, but I like Ava, zero cool in it whatsoever. Just screams, drops the purse, lets the snake run out. You know, it's like, all right, your daughter's in the room. Cool. Don't try to keep it cool. And maybe like just walk outside real quickly and just throw that snake, throw that whole purse out on the driveway. Nope. I'm just going to drop it there and scream.
I was like, that was pure. I was like, okay, y'all will kill me. But I love that they're making her into the bad seed. That was giving me life. I also love, and I'm sure you love this. I didn't love it. It made me very sad. You know, I got to talk about it. My boy Jason and my girl Sam, they had to finally just go like this because Cyrus is coming to town. He going to try to take down anybody and everybody that got anything to do with Sonny to get Sonny, you know, off guard, off kilter. And so, you know, Jason goes in on Sam and Sam loses her shit. Oops, loses her stuff.
And then she trashes that like safe house room that they're in. I'm like, oh, way to go, Sam. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Jason and Sam at all.
I know this.
But still, come on, you got to write Sam better because she has been awful in the storyline. Like,
Make her weak. They just make her weak. They don't make her the strong Sam that we've come to know and love. So that's annoying. And the person that they are making strong, but kind of annoying all at the same time is her sister, Molly. So let's just talk about Molly for a second. Let's just talk about the fact that Molly and Brando was knocking boots when she found out that TJ was still alive. I was like, how you going to work this out, Diva? How you gonna go to the hospital and be like, oh, TJ, after you've been up all night with Brando? I'm just saying. That was a lot.
You know what's frustrating to me is there's some soap tropes that you just got to go along with, but then I feel like there are some soap tropes that I get like, really? Do we still have to do it this way? Where when Molly finds out that, oh my gosh, Molly's been led by everybody, most importantly, Jordan, that TJ has dumped her. Mad about the rejected proposal, and he's out. He's peaced out. See you later. So her hooking with Brando, fine. If somebody's kind of feeling hurt and stung from a relationship that she thinks is over and that's what she wants to do, cool. But when she does find out that TJ has been kidnapped, is now in the hospital, she's telling Brando, oh, this was a mistake, and then we can never tell anyone about this. I'm like, man, you know, even TJ in the hospital says, like, hey, everybody, you thought I had dumped you. Everything that had happened kind of made you believe that this is what was going on.
Yeah.
I would have loved I was hoping that the show would do something where it's like, we don't need to be secretive about this. We don't need to make Molly feel like, you know, she is wrong. Because all Molly can do is operate from the information that she has in the moment. And, you know, to tell TJ, I thought you had dumped me. This was not something I would ordinarily do, but I was hurt and this just sort of happened. But instead, it's going to be like, we can never tell TJ about this.
It's going to be, it's going to be long and drawn out. And I think Brando's probably going to be the one that's going to, because then they show him going back to his garage, having a flashback about her. And I'm like, okay, I can't. And then
what if they go the route and they make Molly pregnant? I will be even more irritated by that.
Well, you know, they're going to do that.
Oh, come on.
What are they gonna do? That's how they do. You know, that's how they roll. That is how they do. That's how they roll. But let's segue over to, because I don't want us to run out of time and I want to try to get to everything that we saw the last couple of weeks. Let's talk about the fact that Cyrus finally got out that and he was like, you know, good job, Jordan, yada yada. And then she was like, yo, if you don't let me see my son, you're not gonna live long enough to tell about it. I was like, oh, where did Jordan go? Who's that? Who's that talking tough? Who's that popping off at the mouth being crazy? I was like, oh, well, okay, Jordan. And then we find out that that he kept his word. He brings TJ back. But we also find out that Cyrus is running around Port Charles, flexing his muscles, letting it known that he's there, and had the audacity to get a room at the Metro Court. And it's all up in Carly's face when Jason comes to the rescue. I'm like, oh, he's doing too much.
I know. I mean, of course, it's got to be. You know, it's just, you know, for the same instance where it's like, well, if anybody needs a hotel room, of course it's going to be the Metro Court. If anybody's going to eat at a restaurant, of course it's going to be either Charlie's floating rib or the Metro Court. You know, it's just like, or Kelly's. There's always like, ay, ay, ay.
That was annoying.
Yeah, you know, I'm still not loving I'm not loving Jordan in the storyline.
I love Jordan in the storyline, really? Because it's, yes, and I'm going to tell you why, because they wrote her so vanilla milk toast for so long that at least we're seeing her have an edge. We're seeing her have a definitive point of view, even though it is kind of messing her relationship up with Curtis. I love that they're giving her a definitive point of view, and not for nothing, but whenever I see Black characters on soap operas, a lot of the times they'll give them a huge storyline for like a split second. It'll be all about that family for a minute, and then they kind of get kicked into the background for eternity. Like, look at what they did with Epiphany. You know what I'm saying? It's good to see them on the forefront.
No, I totally love that. What I don't love is just hitting, and maybe it's just the nature of soaps, but the repetitive nature of it, where I'm tired of seeing scenes where Jordan is like refusing to tell Curtis anything, keeping things secret. It's like, come on, you know, how many times can we do this? You've seen what happens when you don't do this. Why do you keep doing this? It gets annoying to me after a point.
Okay. And speaking of Black people on the show, let's talk about Miss Trina. Trina is living on the edge. Trina is on the edge. She is so annoyed that people are trash talking her dad. And it was so ironic to me that Curtis was the one that was trying to talk her off the ledge. And I don't know if she bought it or if she didn't buy it, but it was just so ironic to me that he was the person that was trying to talk her off the ledge. And then when she went to talk to Joss and Cam about it, she was like, I need you to get Diane to help me sue. It's like, Miss Thing, Diane is the mob lawyer. She ain't got time for that. Like, what make you think she got time to be dealing with your little stuff when she trying to, like, stop a mob war from happening? Girl, bye.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think some of my feelings about some of this story, which I'm glad to see Trina getting more screen time, because I know people have been complaining to them for the longest time about who her mom and dad were, and we found out this information.
I was.
You know, there's, again, much like any storyline, same thing that we're dealing with Alexis, same thing we're dealing with Sam, Trina, not to that same extent, but different, where they're going through something. And Trina's a little different because grief, everybody goes through grief in their own time. Sam's and Alexis are more time focused. They've got 2 years that they've got to deal with out being with Neil or without being with Jason, where I feel like don't say 2 years. Please don't say 2 years, because 2 years is forever in a soap world. Just say 6 months, because 6 months will feel like 2 years, because you're going to give us so many scenes that are going to be like, oh, it's 2 years. How can we do this for 2 years? Like, oh, this 2 years is going to seem like 8 years by the time we get to it.
They got jokes in the chat room. They're like, have Stella and Epiphany take care of Cyrus. Could you imagine Aunt Stella and Epiphany taking, baby Cyrus wouldn't stand a chance. And then I also wanted to flip back to TJ for a split second. I saw that scene where Curtis is in the hallway with Trina's mom, and he's making that phone call saying that TJ is okay and saying that he was talking to TJ's real father. So I'm thoroughly confused. Is this the first time? I don't recall them revealing this news before now. Did they reveal this before and I missed it?
Yeah, a while back ago. Because that was the thing where the reveal came out while Sean, the actor who played Sean, was in prison and not on the show anymore. And that reveal came out and you're like, wow, this would have been great to see more Sean. And we never did. So.
Right. But he said that the real father, we thought all this time that TJ's father was Thomas, who's dead, right? Yes. So now there's this other person that's his real father. Is it Sean?
Sean's his real father.
Or is it somebody else? Okay, all right. Yeah. I was like, Sean's I'm confused. Okay, because I was like, I'm confused. What is going on? All right, so that's that. Let's also talk about, I'm so over Lulu and Brooklyn. I need for them to just like get it over with. They're getting on my nerves. It's like they get them together for like a split second and then we don't ever really see the fight fully play out. It's like a nugget fight. You know what I mean?
It's well, like, especially because, yeah, I know. We seem like we got to a good spot where Lulu tells Dustin, like, hey, go ahead and do this music with Brooklyn. It's a good opportunity for you. So I'm like, all right, they're going to have some sort of sense of peace. And then they meet in Kelly's and they're already just sniping at each other. I'm like, what? Come on.
Yeah,
now.
I'm like, I can't with that. I was over that. And then I love how they cut to Liesl because we hadn't seen her in a minute. And they said that she was going to be extradited to a jail out of the country. And then Maxie comes to see her. And it's like, I can't mess with you no more. And then she's like, no, I can't. You know, I'm like, okay, y'all are doing too much. But then the other funny thing was back to the party with the poison pinata, or what we thought was going to be a poison pinata. Robert going out doing some snooping and almost getting caught, or maybe possibly getting caught, we don't know. And Olivia having his back and lying for him. I thought that was interesting. Of all the people he would have asked to lie for him, why Olivia?
Well, what I do like is I do like the relationship that has developed between Robert and Olivia. And we don't see it very often because Tristan Rogers, neither character is really forefront on the show in any sort of storylines. But the scenes that we do get with them together, usually Dante related, but I do like that they have, in those few short scenes, those two actors have really done a good job of establishing a good rapport between those two characters. So I enjoy when we get those scenes.
And when did Britt leave? I don't remember them even saying that she left. And I was like, so she left? Like, where's she? Like, there was no scene saying she was leaving. They were like, oh, she went to another hospital in Boston. Because, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, the last time we saw her on camera, she was breaking up with Julian and she was out and that was it. And I don't recall seeing her that much after that, but I don't remember hearing anything about her leaving Port Charles and go. I'm like, really, y'all? That's what we gonna do? Okay.
Yeah, that was disappointing because it was, you could still say she's in Port Charles and we just don't see her a lot. Like we do with a lot of the nursing staff. We hardly see them at all. And then they pop up as needed. I don't know what they got by saying that she left town and took another job at another hospital, because the show had done such a great job about setting. I thought she was going to be around for a while, and even if she's not going to be forefront, you know, you still have her in Port Charles that you could easily pull her on for a day part if you wanted to, rather than now we got to explain why she's back in town from this other hospital that she had left Port General Hospital to. Like, why make it that convoluted?
Right. And then we have Willow, you know, being faced with the decision whether to stay in Wiley's life, not stay in Wiley's life, marry Michael, not marry Michael, the drama she's having with Chase. I'm about tired of seeing that too. I'm like, make a decision already.
It's just, I don't see how they could, like, this is where, like, I love Diane. She's fantastic. But, she's, you know, she's dropped the ball on several cases that she's been on in the past. And this one, I'm not thinking that she's really setting Michael up for success, because I can't imagine that that Michael E. Knight, as now is Nell's lawyer, is going to let that go, that, oh, yeah, he's married to Willow, so that's cool. Like, we all know that Michael's with Sasha, Will's with Chase. How's anybody supposed to believe this marriage? It's ridiculous that they would think that the marriage in and of itself is going to be enough to get them.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that. Somebody in the chat room, Kelly Public Cover, was saying that the doll that plays Britt is gone over to Days, so she won't be coming back.
No.
My girl was like, she was like, let me go over here where I know I'm going to get a paycheck.
No, I'm absolutely happy for anybody to get steady gigs. But although I've heard from our close pal, James Lott Jr., that even on Days said she's not going to be sticking around for a while either. So I don't know.
I need for this doll to have a steady gig. She's so good. She's a gorgeous girl and she can act her buns off. Like, I need for somebody to create a character for her where we can really root for her for a long term and not, you know, just a spurt here and there. She was really good. I really enjoyed her on General Hospital.
how much longer do you want? I mean, and it's so tough right now with everything up in the air with the show production. This Peter storyline, man, we got
over it.
Oh,
I'm over it.
That's the one thing I'm wondering about is, will the show, because it's been on this sort of hiatus now, and we're just kind of rolling out original programming, are the writers still writing scripts? If they are, they're using this downtime to really figure out like what's working, what's not. Are they going to, when they do come back and they start things up again, whether it's virtually or in a studio, are they going to use this downtime to really look what was working and what wasn't? Maybe
that's a good question. I mean, that's a really good question. It's a good question as to whether or not they're still writing scripts. That's a really good question, because what we don't know is if right before they stopped shooting, if anybody if anybody has been affected by the virus, if anybody got infected, if anybody's family members got sick, you know, because what seems to be happening is we're starting to hear way after the fact that certain people have been infected. Certain people, you know, had it and didn't know that they had it and have recovered from it. You know, it's been really interesting. So I don't even know if that's been a thing too. Because what I do know about working on sets is when you work on a set like that, or if you work on a Broadway show, people will come to work sick all the time. They come to work with a cold. They come to work, they be coughing and hacking and blowing their nose. I myself have rolled up into AfterBuzz like that. Several people have. Everybody's done it at some point or another. In any work situation that they're in, people have gone to work that are sick, not realizing that in being sick, they had something that was more than a common cold or more than just a little cough or more than just a little fever. So I'm just interested to know if, in fact, anything like that went down at GH, and if they did, how they're handling that moving forward, you know?
No, that's true. It's, because I would think if the show had a chance to kind of look at what was working and what wasn't, there are some storylines that they would change for the better, hopefully, or dump, or kickstart some other storylines, or accelerate some storylines to just get them over with so we can move on to something new. And this Michael and Willow thing would be one I would hit the pedal to the metal, get this thing to the next stage, because it's rough.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, somebody in the chat room, I can't remember who it was, so please forgive me, but somebody was saying maybe they could roll out some Q&A episodes, you know, just do like some episodes where you pull some people together. They did that for a minute with Laura Wright and Maurice Bernard. I saw them do something like that somewhere where they just did a Q&A thing. And I forget who they did it with. And it was kind of interesting, the fact that they did it. But I was wondering if, you know, maybe they would do that, do like a Instagram Live or a Zoom meeting with, you know, the different families that are on the soap. Like, you know, do Jordan, Curtis, TJ, and Molly, or do, you know, Alexis and Neil, and, you know, do something like that where it can be interactive with the fans. Because the bottom line is soap opera content thrives because of the fans of the show. And if you lose the fans of the show, then it's going to be really difficult moving forward in a positive way. So I think that hopefully somebody from GH or ABC is watching us or watching some other shows that talk around General Hospital content, and they're grabbing some of these ideas. I would not be mad at them.
No. I mean, I'd be cool with them if they wanted to treat a week where it's every day focusing on a different actor and their time on GH, whether it's Danielle Turner, which would be awesome just to see what, you know, storylines that he's loved, storylines that he's like, what was I doing in this? Actors that he worships on the show. You've got tons of material to show. All you need is just like some interviews with the actors to really kind of put it all together.
Yeah, well, like I said, the last time we were here live, I am working on some interviews with some people. I don't want to say their names because I don't want to get jinxed, and I don't want y'all clowning me if they don't come. But I'm working on at least 7 different people that I'm sure our fans here at the General Hospital AfterBuzz After Show are going to love. And there's definitely going to be some people that you and I have talked about quite frequently. So it'll be great.
Anthony, but
we're
going to
keep our... No. Well, that would be great. But we're going to keep our fingers crossed, and we're working out details now. So as soon as I know, y'all will know.
Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. Time flies.
I know it did. It went fast.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us here. You know, the wrapping will come back in full force soon. Thanks for joining us. As always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But if you want to stay in touch with either of us, even while the show's off the air, Carla, where can they find you?
You guys can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can find me right before this over at Black Hollywood Live on The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. And you can find me on Mondays doing the after show for Insecure around 2:30 in the afternoon. You can find me there. You can find all of my reviews at thecurvyfilmcritic.com. And you can also find my interviews with some other people that I've done, like Tina Lifford and Kenya Barris from Black AF, on my YouTube channel, The Curvy Critic, over there. So, yeah.
Look at that. I love how you're doing an after show for Insecure. And we're also Insecure by your time slot. Very nice. Very unplanned. Yeah.
I hate you. I hate you so much right now.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie, folks. That's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. We'll see you back here next week with an all-new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV. Bye, everybody.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.